When I first met her, I was just immediately in love.
Rue?
How you doing? You know I need your love. As soon as I saw her, I was just immediately afraid to lose her.
When'd you relapse? You got that
hold on me. So, Rue, the $64,000 question is, what's in the suitcase?
Let's go. What's going on, Alamo City Movie Talk fans? I'm Ryan, D-A-Kroller, Ryan680.
I'm Angela, that Kelly Ange.
And this is Alamo City Movie Talk for movie fans. Guys, bring the movie world right into your ears devices. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Or in this case, it's TV Talk, Euphoria, Episode 2 and 3. You know, Episode 2 with Out of Touch and Episode 3 to end the night here on Sunday night. We did... So sorry, guys. We're a week behind a little bit, but we're catching up right here on this two-part series that we got going on, two-part episode series that we're going to talk about the last two episodes. The latest one is Remunations, Big and Little Bullies. What did you think about this episode, Angela? First reaction out of it.
Out of both these episodes, yeah. It just keeps getting bigger, and we keep getting more into depth into characters we hadn't actually seen before, and I really appreciate that, how we're adding to the already developing story arcs for some of these people,
yeah,
or some of these characters. Even unexpected, you know, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves for the season episode three, but I really enjoyed seeing the perspective from Cal, which is Nate's dad. I really enjoyed that was out of the two episodes that we're reviewing today, that was, I think, my favorite part.
See, and here's the thing. We're getting a lot of in-depth and a lot of context to where, oh, you hated Cal because the person he was. And
he's
the
a jerk. And he's a bully.
He was a big asshole. And that's the thing, even towards his son. And when we come into this episode, it's like it gives us the full context and the full story to why is he this character? Why? What's his story? And we really didn't get too much of it at all, really, in season one. But in this episode, we got a lot. And also, we got even more vision and depth as far as couples. In episode two, we did get Nate's vision with Cassie. That was very, very cool. I like how we got, like, it was almost, because whenever he got knocked the fuck out of him,
Vesco.
Vesco
beat him up.
Yeah.
I really liked seeing how that changed him, affected him, because,
playing out all in his head, literally.
It literally, like, he got beat up pretty bad. So you see, like, the aftermath of that immediately, the effect on his dad.
Yeah.
And I really like seeing how this relationship with Cassie goes. I mean, it's super complicated because, as we know,
he already envisioned it in episode two.
Right. Yeah. But as we know, Maddie has this quote-unquote forbidden tape,
crazy.
So he knows that he cannot completely cut her off.
Yeah.
Because he always is trying to back up his dad, save their family, essentially, and recover this disc. And the only way to do that is through Maddie.
And here's the thing. I feel like everyone's forming their own triangle of like love circles or love triangles. And it's so manipulative and crazy, because it's like, okay, you had Nate last season kind of identifying his sexuality in a way, to where like he was liking Jules a lot, because remember he was
like, well, he didn't know it was Jules.
It's so confusing, because it's just like,
and you know, he kind of freaked out when he found out.
He went very defensive in season one, but at the same time though, in season one, I got out of that was that like it wasn't like he was just doing it because it was his, he was very defensive because he was taught to do that. But then it would kind of leave us an open gap there.
And then
there.
He found out it's dad.
Yeah, it finally left an open gap. Like, maybe I can like this person.
It's hard because, again, he's following his familial pattern. His grandfather did that to his dad. His dad's doing it to his son. And then so on and so
it's
forth.
It's a forever ongoing cycle. Yeah.
And so I feel like I want to see how Nate goes from here. So at the end of, as far as Nate's story, at the end of season or episode three, he essentially chooses Maddie over Cassie. So
I don't know. See, that's a cliffhanger.
He's,
but,
he's yeah. been having this an affair, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. this secret relationship with Cassie because mm-hmm. I think she's a nicer person. At least her character is.
And Cassie, and here's the thing though, Cassie, and it's a lot. Maddie mentioned in the episode two, was that she needs to be loved. And we see that a lot. I see it a lot. And it's crazy because a lot of these people, you know, obviously no one, hope to God, no one goes through all this shit in high school. It's very crazy because a lot of this we see in our everyday lives. And it's sad because it's like, I know people who just, they need to be loved. They need to be in a relationship. And it's like, personally, I know people like that. And it really, I love how real and true it is. Because I feel like Sam Levinson, the creator and director of this story, just really like captures that human essence of just our connection to each of these characters and what the fuck they go through, man. They go through mm-hmm. so much heartache and so much manipulative, so much love triangle, so much depression, anxiety, and it's just like, I need to look this way. And we saw that in Kat's that scene was just so intense of like, oh, you need to look like this. Oh, I do coke. You don't want to do, like, it's so crazy because it's so real how the industry is like, the woman needs to look like this. And I've seen so many documentaries of like, they just cut up women's parts. As far as like the magazines and all that, they make it look like, oh, it's
just, well, obviously, we know that what's in published magazines Instagram, insane. It's edited, filtered. It's even models. Dude. Models say that I don't look like that because they're retouched, redone, and that's always been with society. And there's this beauty standard.
And Instagram hasn't really made it any better either in that case because
it filters.
I've seen so many documentaries of like kids that are 14, 15 years old, probably 13, 12. I would not be surprised that are like going to the plastic surgery doctors. I want to look like my filter. And it's like, dude, this is crazy. Like, but again, it goes back to, I love that because we see that essence. We see that human, that just humane thing that we're going through. Something we're going through right now in our current time is with Kate's situation right there. And I felt like that a lot. Yeah.
So with the thing with Kat, and she has this, we get this feeling Kat, she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't have an identity per se that she can relate to. And also we see a kind of bleeding over into her relationship.
That was a crazy scene. We see her
kind of question, what? Does she really love, is she in love with her boyfriend? Is it working for her? What does she want out of a person?
He adores her. Won't say love yet.
Super nice. But is he what she really wants? I don't know, that's the thing. I think she's just, it adds to her identity. Who is she and what does she
obviously
want?
Obviously, it seemed like she wanted a big old Count Drogo kind of guy.
And when, you know, in the third episode, she has this dinner with the boyfriend's parents. Yeah. And they even like straight up ask her, like, tell us about yourself. And she really doesn't know how to answer it. So I'm very curious how that's going to affect her relationship. She's going to have to at some point confront this with the boyfriend, and I really want to know what's going to go from here. And she doesn't seem happy.
She really doesn't. And it, she, you know, here's the thing. It's like we see her go through this this whole like I don't even know if it's an identity crisis, but it's just in a context of just like she doesn't know who she wants to be or what kind of person she wants to be. And it's, and in that scene with the parents, I kind of thought it was like fake, like she was just talking out loud, like it wasn't real, like in those certain scenes, like where it's like, oh, it's not real, it's not really happening, but oh no, it happened. And then now what I thought, I don't know, like I feel so sad for her, and it's just like, ah, oh, man, this is so sad. Like, I mean, to be on the first date with your boyfriend's parents and see all that open up like that, that's kind of intense right there.
So we've seen it kind of escalate a little bit, like she's kind of kept it to herself, but that really came to head. And I feel like that's going to start, the boyfriend and her are going to start noticing that more. They're going to have to confront it eventually. So I really want to see that happen.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to see Kat kind of experience that at dinner. So hopefully everything kind of, I really want to see where her character goes from here. I'm pretty excited to see her confront that and come to terms with that and just figure out who she is as a person.
Definitely. We go to episode 3, Angela, where we see Cal's, you know, past out of context and the whole story of what person he is now. And it's crazy because it's like, you know, we mentioned it already beginning of this episode, is that season one he probably hated this guy and he was probably the worst guy ever. But now we know why in that context. I mean, what did you think of that backstory?
I would say out of the past two episodes or the episodes so far, that's been my favorite part, kind of seeing a little bit more because, you know, as you mentioned, he's been a total jerk this whole season, even the past season. Not a very good person. You know, he's done a lot of things he shouldn't have. He's, you know, potentially hurting a lot of people.
Yeah.
But we never really understood why and what his reasons were or just what he's thinking of or what's making him feel the need to do this. And especially when his son found out and, you know, that really affected their relationship. It was really interesting
What's the deal with that? That's why I was all like, dude, this is crazy. It's like, what's the whole deal? We knew that. We found that on season one, which we did not cover on our movie talk show here. But, you know, season one has just always been crazy of how he was always recording all his sexual encounters with different people. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard because it's like it was with, you know, not just with, you know, with trans women. It was with men, too, as we could remember.
And then Jules.
It's a lot of, and then, of course, we know the whole disc situation, which is where we're going to go to on this episode as well. We got more context into exactly how Nate's lie kind of effed over his dad a little bit in this episode.
We saw in episode two Cal kind of confront Fezco, so he eventually finds out Fezco's the one who beats up Nate.
Nate tells him a lie
about
manipulates the truth into where it bends to his, like, I'm defending you, Dad. But in reality, he really wasn't.
I think part of it is, but in different way than he kind of puts it on.
Oh, okay.
But we see Fezco and Cal eventually meet. Like, you know, Cal intimidates Fezco at his store. And then he finally meets him at his apartment. And we see them confronted. Ash kind of holds him to gunpoint. Cal to gunpoint. And is like, explain yourself why you're here. And in this conversation, in that scene, it comes to find out Nate lied about it. And Cal gets more of info on what's happening and why. So we know Cal knows the truth now.
Mm-hmm.
More context of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I really want to see him confront Nate at some point. I think they would. This is going to come to light at some point.
Oh, definitely. I think next episode.
Maybe next episode, maybe a couple episodes. Yeah. But I know it's going to be for sure this season. That's going to come to light. And all of this is just going to be laid out on the table. And I really want to see how that affects their dynamic. Yeah. It's already stressed out from season one and what happened and what went down. So, and they're kind of trying to rebuild that this season, but not really.
Yeah.
They still kind of struggle as a father-son. So I really want to see how this is going to affect them. This could either be really bad or really good.
Yeah. It would be good for entertainment, definitely. I guarantee that. But let's go hit up Rue, man. Rue, my favorite character. You know, she's my favorite character since season one, obviously. I've always loved her character so much, her attitude towards life and everything. We see her relapse again.
Episode two.
I'm so just like, episode three. Like, I'm just so like, I'm so, I'm Rue, like, stop. Like,
so we see she meets this new character, Elliot, right?
Yeah.
And they both share the drug as a thing they have in common, right? Mm-hmm. So we see them kind of get closer. They met at the New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
Episode two, they kind of get closer.
Yeah.
Same thing, episode three.
So
we see them, but all the while, Jules does not know.
Yeah, that who this person is,
how they met, or what connection that Rue and Elliot share.
Yeah,
and you could tell that it's kind of putting a small little strain on Jules and Rue's relationship.
It ain't a small strain. I can tell you that she's very nervous.
She's very nervous. Rue is really made it very clear these past couple episodes she has no intention of staying clean.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I believed her last season. I really did. I'm not gonna lie.
But it is not the case. She has relapsed. Yeah. She continues to do the drugs, multiple types of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we see her get into this sort of business deal.
Yeah. Well, before we touch up on that, I do want to mention when we see her relapse in that episode where we see her interact with her sister, and her sister really comes out of her shell not just being quiet anymore, where she speaks her mind, she speaks her peace towards Rue. And let's be honest here, I love this episode so much because it's like we get an education of Rue's backstory of like, this is what a drug addict does. And we see that Sam Levinson does a great job of like, okay, Rue's a drug addict. Drug addicts lie. So this is our interpretation of like, of the side of the drug addict explaining what she is going through.
Justifying or the lying.
As a drug addict. And it's like, you're going to get caught in certain circumstances. And so you lie. She's lying. She's saying she's just doing weed. And it just isn't. It's
but she's just thinking about it. Yeah. But she's not really doing it. So we see like the thought process. And it's so hilariously presented because
it's like a little comedy Rue relief.
Is like presenting it like as like educational slideshow. Yeah. And you see
these kids are in this desk. It's, like, what the heck?
It's really funny. So I thought that
and Elliot's pressing nice. the slide thing. That was pretty cool. That was very, very so, hipster.
It was very, retro. Very like quirky the way that was presented. But it is true. Like Rue is starting to do more lies.
She's lying to everybody.
She has been lying to Jules. You know, Jules is under the impression she's no longer doing drugs. Rue is keeping that from her, and she's starting to lie to more people in her life. So we are going to eventually see this bite her in the butt, and the question is, how bad is it going to be this time?
Man, I don't even know because it's so unpredictable. This show's so unpredictable. You know that moviegoers out there. This show's so unpredictable. I can't predict anything. That's why I love this show so much because it's unpredictable. It's unstable. It's an impulsive show. I mean, we saw episode one, and that was an impulsive move by Fez. It's just we see so many things that I expect to happen each episode, and including this one as well. It just, you know, that very brilliant idea of Lexi coming out with that show, with a showcase of Oklahoma, which we kind of got that. It's okay, scratch that. Besides that play, right before that, Sam Levinson gives us another original thing, which is The Sidekick, which was a show of Lexi because she was always the observer in her family's life. And I love the, God, that was so creative. They even gave us like behind the scenes stuff, but it was like a Euphoria. That was awesome, man. God, Sam, dude, bruh, you're doing it, man. You're doing it, dude. You surprised me once again. Every episode, it's like, oh, okay, that was good. Holy crap, you can do that? And then, oh man, this is it, man. This is going to be the best episode. Nope, it just gets better and better and better, man.
So everything's been like escalating to a certain point, and I feel like there's going to be a point, and I hope it's in the next few episodes, where everything just goes to crap. Because that's what we're going to see. We see everything with all of these character arcs. Everything's kind of walking on eggshells. There's like a very fine line. Yeah. Something's going to fall. The stack of cards is going to come down. And it's just going to go to hell for every single person. And I want to know when that is going to be, because that's going to be very juicy and drama.
Definitely. Going back to what you mentioned already was Rue's business deal.
That is terrible. One thing that Rue is... has made her point of, why is she doing drugs for free? She is a very smart person, but she decides to go to Fezco first. He shuts down her business proposal. So her next...
Or was it $2,000 or $5,000 worth of drugs?
$5,000. So her next step is to actually go to the retired school teacher turned drug dealer.
Drug lord.
that we met in season or episode two. And she loves it, accepts it, and she lets Rue have the money and things to start up this deal, whatever this proposal is. That was
$10,000.
Yeah, she talked her down. She usually was going to give her a lot more, but she talked her down. Rue. And it's so hilarious because she takes this suitcase to her her recovery drug meeting, you know, for AA or whatever you call it. And she's there in the back with the suitcase.
Yeah, God.
and her sponsor notices right away. And, you know, that's the one thing that I don't like. You know, he really does care for her.
Yeah.
He's been down that road. You know, he doesn't want that same thing for someone who's so young.
Mm-hmm.
And she just gives him attitude. And she throws some of the stuff, that personal stuff they talked about, in his face.
Yeah.
And we don't know where their relationship stands. You don't know. He said he was done if she was going to be disrespectful, and she still made those comments, and he just walked away.
Oh, yeah.
And I really hope that he doesn't give up on her.
Yeah, and you know, we see a lot of him really like it was like almost like a father daughter relationship there, and Zendaya, you know, I mean, just Rue and Al's the relationship together, it's always been, even her special, it was always been very influential, and it's always been non-judgmental, and I'm pretty sure she felt like that she could tell him anything, and like he would be like, I'm understanding of that situation because I used to be where you're at. I you know, I know when you're high, talking to me and all that stuff, so you can't can't BS a BSer, you know, in that context, in that as used in that metaphor. So we see that a lot progress in this episode. And it's like he kind of knows like what's in this, you know, and he even tells her what's the 64,000 or 34,000. It was like a random number. What's in the suitcase, right? And it's just like, I mean,
like he knows.
Yeah, he knows something's going down. He knows something's happening. He just doesn't know the full context of it, but he knows that he has to know like she's into some kind of
she's doing form something of trouble. She couldn't. She's not supposed to be doing. And
I'm feeling so bad for Rue. I'm like, Rue, why do you keep putting yourself like now? You're on a serious tone where like, Fez, can I even get you out of it? Because it's like,
And I feel like as much as I don't want her character to get in trouble, this deal, whatever she's planned,
why give a drug addict?
I don't think it's gonna go as well as she thinks it's gonna go, and I feel like. Because Fez is going to be put in a situation where he's going to have to help her out. He's really realistically the only one who can help her out because he's the only one besides Elliot who knows that she does drugs.
Yep.
And is doing drugs now has the resources maybe to help her. She can't go to anybody else with this. Yeah. It's going to be him. And I don't want to see that happen for him to be put in that situation. But I feel like this deal isn't going to go as well as it is. Or if it does, she's just going to keep being put into the hole and expected more to do this from now on. And that's not what Fezco wants. He doesn't want this life for her. He doesn't want to do drugs, period.
We see her lies getting more lies whenever she gets home with the suitcase and with all the drugs there. And then we see how her mom's like, oh, she's doing a lot better. That's just lies like, upon lies. Proud. She walked in and the first thing she says is a freaking lie. I'm like, Rue, your lies are going to catch up to you and they're going to bite you in the rear end. They're going to bite you right.
Starting to snowball, we see, where it's just going to get bigger and bigger, out of control.
The whole context to me is that, like, why give a drug addict drugs, like, and then expect them to sell it? Like, again, she could surprise the hell out of us and make a lot of money with the girls, but it could have a downfall. Joel's going to find out.
It's either going to go one or two ways. Yeah. It's either going to go horribly wrong and she's not going to make any profit, lose all this money and all the product, whatever. Or it's going to do very well and she's expected to continue doing this from now on.
Yeah.
So it's either going to go two ways. And neither of them is good.
Yeah, I don't. It's gonna be a tough situation there. And then also we got a little chemistry between, you know, it's funny because, you know, the last episode, episode two, we see Jules really hate Elliot, but then in this one we get a kind of little sentimental there.
We see them kind of hang out as a group. More in this episode, but towards the end, as Rue is doing this undercover drug deal, we see that Elliot and Jules are more alone.
Yeah.
And they finally get a chance to talk, and you know, she gets closer to him, and she kind of lets her guard down a little bit more because she has been very worried about him. She doesn't know what his intentions are, what Rue's intentions are.
Well, she's already assuming that that Elliot's intentions was to F Rue.
Right.
So it's like, okay. And then he asks, Jules asks her, and then she felt more, more hit on, I guess, or not even hit on, just she felt more like less guard, like you said, her walls were put down. And
Because they had a very serious talk about like sexuality and.
Kurt Cobain haircut.
Yeah, so they kind of really bonded in this talk. We see Rue kind of let her guard, or not Rue, Jules let down her guard a little bit. I'm curious to see where it goes from there. And I really want to know, because we know Elliot knows that Rue is not telling Jules the truth.
Yes.
And it's going to come to head. Because so how is
going
to
help sell it.
How is this going to affect Jules' relationship, not only Rue but with Elliot, because it seems like they're coming actual friends now. So again,
it's crazy.
It's going to come to a point where everything's going to go downhill, yeah, and everyone's going to be affected in their own way. And it's
definitely going to be a good episode. It really is, to see it all unfold within their grasp. And it's just, I feel like it's all going to come tumbling down into where we get the police involved for involving, at least with Rue situation there. And it just, I don't know. Well, hopefully we get to see these characters, hopefully in a way better place than they started out in season two. So hopefully we'll get to see them a lot better now. You know, these episodes just keep getting better and better. The context of the story and the depths of each character just keeps getting better and better and better, and give us more details into each of their lives. I love it. I'm digging it. But yeah, guys, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Sorry this video was long. It was just because we were covering, going back and forth to 2 and 3 right now. So it just thanks for watching, guys. Thank you so much. As always, I'm your host, Ryan D, called Ryan680.
I'm Angela at That Cat at the End.
And this is Alamo City Movie Talk, guys. Let us know in the comments down below, what did you think of this episode? Let us know in the comments down below, guys, if this show's even for you, or maybe it's just like, you were just like, oh no, I didn't feel for it. But I guarantee you will feel for any of these, you have to feel for at least one of these characters, right? All right, thank you so much, guys. Have yourself a wonderful day. Stay safe, San Antonio. Peace.
Hello, everyone. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. We truly appreciate the support. Be sure to also check us out on YouTube, guys, where we do strictly movie reviews. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all of your movie news, reviews, and our special giveaways and contests, guys. You know what to do, and you have yourself a wonderful day, and stay classy, San Antonio.